Welcome back, Rick. I'm Calm, professional female, and today our subject is Arthur Schopenhauer, one of philosophy's most penetrating and famously pessimistic thinkers. Schopenhauer asks us to look beneath the orderly surface of everyday life. We commonly imagine ourselves as rational individuals who examine the world, choose what we want, and then act. He challenges that comfortable picture. Beneath our plans and explanations, he argues, lies a restless, striving force he calls the will. We desire, pursue, achieve, and almost immediately begin desiring again. Satisfaction is usually brief, striving returns. For Schopenhauer, this recurring pattern is not a minor flaw in human behavior. It reveals something fundamental about existence. That may sound relentlessly bleak, but Schopenhauer's philosophy is more than a declaration that life is miserable. It is an attempt to diagnose why dissatisfaction persists and to discover moments when its grip becomes weaker. Art can interrupt our usual self-interested way of seeing, allowing us to contemplate something without immediately asking how it serves our desires. Music has an especially powerful place in his aesthetics. Compassion also matters deeply, because recognizing suffering in another person can loosen the boundaries of ego and provide a basis for ethics. His ideas draw from the philosophical tradition of Immanuel Kant, while also engaging, though not always perfectly or consistently, with Indian philosophical and religious thought. In turn, Schopenhauer influenced later philosophers, psychologists, writers, artists, and musicians. Even people who reject his metaphysics may recognize his descriptions of wanting, the anticipation before obtaining something, the fleeting pleasure of possession, and the swift arrival of a new goal. As we explore his thought, it will help to resist two temptations. The first is to dismiss him as merely gloomy. The second is to accept his darkest conclusions simply because they feel psychologically vivid. Philosophy becomes most valuable when we test an argument rather than merely admiring its mood. So begin with a small observation from ordinary life. When one desire is finally satisfied, what actually follows? Lasting peace? Temporary relief? Boredom? Or the birth of another desire?